Broadcasting Network. The views and opinions presented in this program do not necessarily represent those of WGBB or its employees. You're listening to 1240 WGBB.
The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
From the heart of the nautical mile, you're listening to the station that serves your community. AM 1240 WGBB.com. And 1240 WGBB Freeport.
Tony ain't here, and I'm Dr. Palmer. Tony's home with pneumonia, so tell him stop breathing heavily and just be at peace at home. And listeners, this is Listen Up. Jesus is on the air, and it's a very, very special day for us. We have two people from Rosa Mystica Foundation, Joanne Bunswell and Colleen McCormick, and we're going to have a wonderful time not only talking to them and talking to them about their relationship with Jesus, but also about Rosa Mystica and about all that is going on at that foundation down here in upstate New York. Trevor, though, would you put on number two? I did a commercial, believe it or not. Tony, I'm going to play a commercial. Ha, 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 ha. Did you get it?
It's pretty jazzy music to announce a day of prayer. Believe it or not, that's glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit done in dance time. And all we're doing with that music is inviting you to a day of prayer, where we bring together people of the Catholic religion with all different ways of coming into touch with Jesus as their Messiah. On that day, June 21st, 2014, at Kellenberg High School, 8:30 to 5, we're going to have adoration, talks on devotion to Mary, devotion to the Scripture, devotion to the Spirit, and devotion to Divine Mercy, and ending up with devotion to True Presence in the Eucharist at a Mass, celebrated with all of us as one in love, in unity with our Lord Jesus. Amen. Hope to see you there. $50 for the day. Contact me, jpalmer@drvc.org or 516-678-5800, extension 408. Hope to see you there. Dr. Palmer, see you soon.
I got to give credit to the musician in the background. That's me playing my keyboard, and that's original music. And I thank God for that gift. And we hope you all come. It's going to be a tremendous day of prayer and dedication to unity in love. And then the title of the day is Step Out of the Boat. Get away from being so comfortable in the way you relate to God and share with others, their ways and your way. Okay, that's the end of the commercial. All right, now let's get to this Rosa Mystica crowd. Trevor, you don't know this crowd, but they are really quite unique. Do you know that they walk on water every day? You didn't know that, huh? And it's just an unbelievable kind of place. And out of nowhere, up near Cooperstown, New York, they restored a place and made it into a beautiful sanctuary for prayer and retreats and even just a brief vacation if you want. It's just a wonderful place. And then they have a place over here in Muttontown. There's another commercial, I guess, I'm giving. And in Muttontown, don't tell me he's not here, but a commercial all over the place. But in Muttontown, and Old Brookville, not Muttontown, on Route 106, they have a house of prayer, and they do events there as well. And we're going to hear from Colleen and from Joanne. Let's do Joanne first, and we'll come back to Colleen. I've seen your artwork, Joanne, and I love it.
Thank you.
And it's beautiful. It's inspired. It comes from God, you know. And we've had people here who've been inspired musicians or healers or whatever. We've never really had an inspired artist. And I would love you to begin by telling people about your relationship with God and how he has brought artwork into your, actually your relationship with him and your love of him.
Okay, thank you. I think that I started speaking to God in small ways. And one day, finally, my mother talked to me about adoration. And I said...
And for those who don't know, that's where Catholics go to the chapel. And the Eucharist is in a monstrance. And we believe that Jesus is in that Eucharist and that his body and blood, soul, and divinity is now exposed so we can really be extra personal with him. Okay?
Yes, so my mom had been talking to me for years about going to adoration, and I said, Mom, I just don't have the time. I go to church, I do all these other things. What more do you want me to do? I can't sit somewhere for an hour. I'm just too hyper. So one day, basically, she had me in the car, locked the doors, and took me down there. And while I was sitting in front of the Eucharist, I had such a feeling of peace and joy, and it was so amazing that I said, wow, there's something here. I have to keep doing this. So I did that for quite a while, and then God finally said to me, you know, pick up a notebook, you know, and it's not a voice that I hear. It's something, you know, he's speaking to me personally through my heart. And I started writing down inspirations of different work to do. And he started giving me, like, visions of different paintings that I should be painting.
In your head?
In my head. It's all in my head, and you know. And then I started picking up, like, that inspiration when I was in other places. So most of the time when he does give me an inspiration to do a painting too, the funny thing is it's usually not the whole thing. It's usually a piece, and I start the painting with that piece that I've been given, and then I wait for him to give me the next piece, and then I usually ask for confirmation. So the ways that I get that are not really conventional ways. I did a painting of the Blessed Mother with the American flag that I had gotten that in prayer. And I said, well, God, you know, what should I put in the background? And he didn't say anything. But when I'm painting, I always leave the painting in my kitchen so that when I walk by, I can see, okay, that's wrong or that's right from a technical point of view. So I had the painting in my kitchen, and every time I walked by it, I started hearing the words singing in my head that said, God bless America. And I said, God bless America, you know, and I just kept, it happened like for weeks, and I said, okay, God, I think that you're trying to tell me something here, I'm a little slow, but you want me to put those words in the back, you need to give me confirmation. And the next day, one of my girlfriends walks in, and she looks at the painting, and she goes, you know, you should do a national anthem behind that painting. And I said, okay, that's my confirmation, and that's what I do. So most of my paintings, that will happen. I'll get, you know, like a little piece here and a little piece there, and then at the end, it's done. And I'm trying to be faithful.
And it's hard to wait, isn't it?
It is.
Because it requires you to go back again and again and again. And I'm sure you ask again, would you please confirm this? Are you sure I'm not nuts? All this kind of stuff. I'm sure you thought of yourself as nuts.
Oh, yeah. You know what it is? It's God speaks to me very softly in little ways. So I really have to train my mind to listen. Mm-hmm. Because it's not a voice you're hearing or something, or I'm not getting a fax that's saying, hey, this is what I need you to paint today, which would be wonderful. But so I have to be open to that subtle nuance where God speaks to us. So I find that, I mean, obviously that's just not in my painting, that's in my life. And, you know, most of us that have faith become, we learn how to hear that voice, and we learn how to see a sign, and that voice sometimes comes from a friend, comes from a priest, comes, you know, from a license plate. So,
and you know it's God. So you know somehow it's God. I have the same kind of relationship, and I hear things, and people say, you're nuts. I say, well, I'm a psychologist. So I'm but you feel a presence there that's greater than you, and you know it.
Yeah.
And you get that peace, and that's the way he confirms it in me, and it sounds like that's the way he confirms it in you.
Yeah, it's truly amazing if you start asking. I think it's seeking first, because you're not going to get an answer without seeking. Like, I had been doing a painting. I did the Blessed Mother holding in her arms a dying soldier. Oh. And, like, for me, the words I had gotten in adoration, too, were that anybody that goes and puts their life out for their country or their God is like her son.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're laying down their lives for others. So I had the vision of that, but I didn't know what to put in the background. And I don't always do words in the background, but I was waiting for an appointment, and I opened up the calendar, and it said, "Blessed are the peacemakers." And I said, "Oh my goodness, that's beautiful."
Okay.
And I said, "Okay, God, if that's what you want me to put in the background, let me know." And the next morning I was in Mass, and I was at a church I usually don't go to with my mother, and she says, "Oh, sign in the book." And the bulletin from the week before, on the front, had like a sun going down, which I had in the back of the painting already, with the words from the Beatitudes, "The Blessed is the Peacemaker." Yeah. And I said, "Okay, God, thank you. That's so simple for me," like, because I was open and I was waiting for the confirmation. And it's incredible because it was last week's bulletin. And I don't go to that church. And I don't sign in the books usually when I'm there. So, like, God orchestrates all these things, and they're usually not gigantic miracles. They're little teeny miracles that happen every day. And now that I learned to appreciate them, because I hadn't always known to do that, you know, I'm grateful all the time, just because I'm like, "Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God."
Benedict Rochelle, when I was first getting words and I spoke with him, he sent me his book called A Still Small Voice. And he said, if you want to have a relationship with God, you have to learn to become still. And then you will hear that still, small voice of the Spirit of God who's alive in you. And it's all the other distractions in life that get in the way, so you have to learn to put them away. And the best place to do it is in adoration. So you are obviously following what God wanted.
I think in adoration, too, we're all busy. It's kind of a crazy time in life now where everybody's so busy all the time that it's hard to hear all these nuances. So I think in adoration, it's almost like going to the gas station and filling up your tank. So you have that personal relationship with Christ. You spend, if you want to get to know somebody, you have to spend time with them. And you have to spend time alone with them, not in a crowd. So having the discipline to go to adoration, and I say discipline, but in the beginning it was a discipline, and now it's such a friendship, I can't, like, I skip to get there. Like,
right.
No matter what's going on, I'm like, "I gotta get to adoration."
Yeah.
Like, I want my words.
Right. I want my maple.
Yeah. You know, a lot of times, too, they're corrective words, you know, where God's saying, "You really should work on this or that," but I like it. He says it in a soft way, so I'm good with it.
I have a friend of mine, Dennis, who has your painting of Lincoln.
And yes.
I know he listens to the radio. Hi, Dennis. But that particular painting is so special for him. He can feel the presence of something special in there, which he attributes as God or Mary or whatever. That's wonderful that God places his love in your painting, and then when someone picks it up or buys it or whatever, that love stays there.
Yeah.
And it touches them.
It's what's so wonderful is that God reaches different people in different ways, just mm-hmm. like we were talking about. So for some people are visual. Some people like to read things, you know, some people like to hear things. But for visual people too, some people that don't know God, don't have a relationship with God, they might not go to church or somewhere else. But they can see a painting, and not just obviously my painting, but they can see any painting, and God can touch them. And God doesn't want us playing God. He wants us to put little pinholes in people so he can take over.
Mm-hmm.
So my wish is that
I love that. Excuse me. I like that. Pinholes.
Okay. Well, you know, he said that to me in adoration.
As long as it's not nails, we're okay.
Pinholes.
Tell us about some of the other paintings that you created over the years, because I know your paintings are also all over Rosa Mystica up in upstate New York, Edmondson.
Yes, I do. I do quite a variety of work, and I also do some for other people too, and institutions. I just finished. I was doing a photo shoot for a painting I was doing for a book, *The Refugee from Heaven* by Cora Evans. And one of the photos on there I just loved, and it was Christ, like I had him kneeling down, and it was just so beautiful. And I said, I was just so moved by it. I said, okay, I'm going to do this painting on my own after. And, you know, I was praying about it, and I'm looking at it, and I've said, wow, what am I going to put in the back of this one? And sure enough, my morning prayers, I was opening for reading, you know, and it said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And I think that the message on that one is so important these days, and it's consistent with our new wonderful Pope, is that, you know, we're all looking to be served these days and not to be a service. And everybody's wondering, why am I not happy? What's going on in my life? Why aren't things working out better? When you're of service.
You have those kinds of thoughts? Colleen, do you have those kinds of thoughts? So I can't believe it.
Not Colleen.
I'm sorry, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Now, when your true joy comes from being of service and doing for others. And so with that painting, I love it, because I just finished it too. Usually I'm excited about something new and then I move on. But I think that's the message for our times too, is that scripture from Mark, is that we need to be of service. I have another, the most famous painting I have of the Rosa Mystica is the Blessed Mother, and she's wrapped in the American flag with the words. I was talking about that one before. But that is beautiful because she's the patroness of our country, and we should do with her in mind, because, you know, she's the mother. Like, if you want to go visit somebody and you knock on the door, the mother answers and leads you to the son.
You should get in touch with Barbara Samuels, who's doing the religious freedom under the bishop. She's getting her parishes to get it for unity, because we're under attack.
Yes.
And maybe that painting could be something important for that movement.
The U.S. bishops actually used that one as part of the Fourth Night to Freedom.
Okay.
And they put it on the cover of the tablet in Brooklyn and Queens this summer. And I have others like that. I did the Lamb of God with the Vatican flag. And then in the background, I did the American flag. And it's the Lamb with Christ is coming back. And he's coming back to America. You know, there's a lot of people in America here that are trying to push God out of America. And this country was formed on Judeo-Christian values and freedom of religion.
He ain't going.
I know. But, you know, something he listened to me as one of those people to help him say, you know, we're, you know, he's worth it with his hands here.
Well, you have artwork. Marty, what was his name again?
Marty Rotello.
Rotello. He's got music. I have words. Other people have so many ways that he's trying to bring us all together.
We're all apart.
That's right. All of the same game, same ball game. Do you do any talks on your paintings? Do you ever do that?
Yes, I talk up at Rosa Mystica in Edmondson, New York. And sometimes, you know, I'll do TV shows and other things. I do some pro-life work, and that's been all over the world at this point.
Do you have pro-life paintings?
I do. I was in, I had been in Medjugorje, and I...
Where?
In Medjugorje.
Is that where those alleged apparitions are?
Yeah. I'm passing over.
Okay. Not approved, but go ahead. I'm sorry.
And I had taken these photos that they actually end up using on a TV show because I had just gotten there. I was with my mother and my three little children at the time, and it took us 2 days to get there, and I had to stop and sightsee on the way too, and nobody was talking to me at that point. So anyway, we sat down, we were having pizza, and this guy that I know walks in and says, "Oh my goodness, what are you doing here? Are you going to the apparition tonight?" And I said, "No, I kind of
it's like going to the movie.
I have pizza and a beer in front of me, and I'm tired, you know." And then he walked away, and I said, "Are you kidding me? You just came all the way to Medjugorje. You're not going to go?" So my mom had had cancer, so I dropped her and my youngest off at the hotel, grabbed a cab, and ran to the top of the top where the apparition was just starting. And I took these photos at that second. And the entire sky was full in the photo. I couldn't see it with my naked eye, but it were bubbles. And each one had different, like, shapes on them, and all different, looked like, almost like snowflakes, where they all had their own, like, DNA. And anyway, so when I was praying in adoration, God said to me, "I want you to take the bubbles and put the babies in them, going up to heaven."
Yeah.
So I did this, and then the same trip, I was walking down this road, and I saw rays going up instead of coming down. So I said, "Wow, I've never seen that before." And then a little later on, too, he said to me, "I want those rays in the back." So there's rays going up with all the babies floating up to heaven. And I did a series after that. So it's a beautiful series, and it's a healing series too, because I know a lot of people that have lost babies that have seen that, and they felt the peace and the joy. And you know, God doesn't condemn us. You know, we're
so
set free.
Important to hear. You know, God understands.
Yes.
He doesn't like what we do, but if we ask Him for help in forgiving ourselves, He gives it.
He gives it. It's beautiful.
It really is. When I was in Medjugorje, everybody talks about the sun spinning in the sky.
Yes.
And everything else, right? And allegedly spinning in the sky. and so I allegedly saw it. I think not too many allegedly. But I saw crosses coming down to the earth. And I said, "Oh, what is that? Are you giving pain crosses to people?"
Wow.
And you know what it was? Because I asked in prayer and I heard, "No, John, those are answers to your petitions being sent down."
Oh, that's beautiful.
I mean,
beautiful.
He answers our prayers. I mean,
mercy.
Yeah, just totally unbelievable.
Yeah, and then seeing things too, whether we allegedly see them or allegedly hear them or not.
I'm a psychologist.
Yeah, as we allegedly. No, but you know something too? We're human, and it's nice to have confirmation.
Yes.
Faith is something that you have to be very faithful. You have to have supernatural ability to trust God, and you have to have a relationship in order to be able to trust God.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that's what I love about the adoration. But when you get those little glimpses of things, they're such gifts to me. Like, I'm like a little kid. I love him. I think he treats me all the time to him, because I'm such a little kid. I'm like, "Ooh, look at these bubbles in my picture."
Yeah. But you know, it's like getting ice cream. But from God, you know?
With cherries on top.
Yeah, and he also gives you hugs. He'll give you hugs.
Yeah.
Because you never forget how you feel. And you know, listeners, you may think we're crazy talking like this, but we are. We're crazy in love with Jesus and the Blessed Mother and God the Father and the Holy Spirit. And you don't have to believe what we see and hear and speak. That's personal for us. All we're doing is telling you, for us, God's in relationship with us, and He's drawing us into that unity and love with the Immaculate Heart of Mary and the Sacred Heart of Jesus every opportunity we give Him to do so. But we have to say yes and let it happen. You know, you're a very special woman, Joanne, and you're obviously very gifted and by God. And
thank
it's
you.
So nice that you can express that visually for people. And how would somebody get your pictures if they really wanted? I know you have to eat. It's funny how that does happen.
I use the paintings for ministry work, for the Rosa Mystica House of Prayer.
Okay.
So they sell them on their website, and
which is
rosamysticofamerica.org.
Rosa Mystica, M-Y-S-T-I-C-A, Rosa Mystica America.
.org. Yes, and then we use the money for ministry work.
Okay.
I mean, I do for a living. I do portraits and I do commission works and everything, but we sell copies for ministry work. So to raise money to do, we educate seminarians and we do work with the poor and other things. So we try to give back. When God gives us something, we want to give it back, and then he gives us more. It's kind of a selfish thing.
Well, but it's wonderful. So they get it. Rosa Mystica
of America.
America.org. Okay.
And I just want to interject.
I was saying, I better get Colleen in here too.
Again, we're going to
Colleen.
Put our
Colleen,
link.
Tell them your name.
My name is Colleen McCormick.
And what's your job at Rosa Mystica?
I have
to tell you all these things. Go ahead, Colleen.
I serve as the director of conferences and retreats for the Rosa Mystica House of Prayer.
And I also tell the public and listeners, if you really want to have a dynamite retreat, get in touch with Colleen and get up to that foundation up in Edmundston.
Yes.
It's beautiful. Anyway, go ahead.
Yes, and I serve as one of the directors of the Rosa Mystica Foundation of America, which supports the Rosa Mystica House of Prayer and our missions for the poor. I just wanted to say that we will have our link tied to your website.
Tony, do you hear that? Rosa Mystica. Stop coughing, Tony, and get it done.
We're praying for your healing today, Tony. So we'll be linked to your website, so if anyone wants some information, they could look to you.
That's wonderful. And we're going to have more time with Colleen a little bit later on in the program, because you have some events coming up.
I do. I have some wonderful events coming up.
But I wanted to stay with that word gift. Because we normally have a reading from a friend of ours who chooses to be anonymous, who does a little commentary on scripture each week. And also, we also have the saints of the day. And our saints of the day are going to be the Sacred Heart of Mary and the Immaculate Heart of Mary and the Sacred Heart of Jesus. But as far as a meditation, I said, oh my gosh, Tony's not here. And he didn't give me the medication. Maybe he should give me medication. but he didn't give me the meditation. And what I did is I went to prayer. And while I was there, I want to make sure I don't think I gave you the right number. I did. Sunday, the scripture is on, bring the children to me. And, you know, we're talking about ourselves being little children and being called to God. So I read that scripture, and while I was reading it, I got these words. Come to me like children daily. Trust that I, your Father, love you even more than you love yourself. Know that if you ask, and it is best for you, I will give you all that you ask. I hold nothing back. I deliver on my promise to be with you 24/7. Oh, I know I may not deliver on your schedule. After all, I am not an on-demand God. If I were, that would make you me, wouldn't it? Thus, many times I give you the gift of patience as I delay your immediate gratification until it's the proper time for my response to give your request an answer. Know that in my gift of patient endurance, I cleanse your being. I share the only love that's eternally free. I know how hard life is. I know how hard you try to please me. Rest assured, you are never out of my sight. I hover over you like a doting parent
Remember, listeners, you are my children. Come to me as often as you wish. I will never turn my back on you. I ask those of you who are parents, would you turn your back on your children when they come to you in need? And even if you do, I promise you, I will never turn away from you for doing that or from your children. And it's signed, Love God the Father. And then he goes on. Thus you begin your day in prayer with me. You offer you to me rather unselfishly. I accept your offer. I touch you with my love. I allow my most holy spirit to be with you through my words of wisdom. I refresh your memory of who I am. I am your divine father. I love you with an everlasting love. I teach your heart my way of life. I ready you to do my will just for today in your walk in time. I know you'll return to me tomorrow and all the days that follow in your walk in time. You see, I read your heart, your soul, and your mind. I know that you are mine now and forevermore. Oh, I know you may still have some pulls away from my love by the way life is for humanity. However, I know after such brief skirmishes, you return to me a little shamefaced, but wiser for the trial. Be not afraid, dear friend. I know you inside out and upside down. I delight even at your objections to my time frames and answering your prayers. My dear friend, my son and I roar with laughter at your impertinent and impulsive nature. In fact, we think it's these qualities in you that endear you more to us. Who else would complain to Jesus that he does not know what getting old is like because he died at 33. Mm. I had to answer that Jesus and I are one. I am alive since before the beginning of time. I most certainly know that I am old enough to understand aging. Thus, Jesus, who is one in all things with me, certainly understands aging. And when the music stops, he goes on with just a little bit more. Who asks the most impertinent questions directly? You do. We know these are the questions others think, but are afraid to ask. Thus, we endure your impertinence and re-educate you and rid us of our words in you as we, through the indwelling of our most holy spirit in you, teach you truth and love eternal. Just know, we delight in you. Accept that we are so happy, listeners, that you freely choose to follow us in all things, great and small. Thus, we delight in rewarding you with our love, even when you never believe you deserve our reward. It's like the old television show, Father Knows Best. Indeed, I do. That's what I got in prayer this morning. And I may not be as good as what other people would have written, but it's our words. And we are his children. He calls us to him. As Mary does. She's our mother. Say, if you have a mommy and daddy in heaven who speak to your heart and give you images for pictures and give musicians songs to touch hearts like the one playing in the background, John Michael Tablets, Holy is his name. And by a musician, Denny, I can't remember his last name now, I use it all the time, but Denny, who has healed by love. A musician created these songs. See how it all kind of comes together.
Yeah, that was beautiful. Thank you. Really beautiful.
It's not mine.
Yeah, no, that's, I mean, that's the, every word there was beautiful. I'm actually a little jealous because usually I'm in trouble when I'm in adoration. I'm like, he doesn't talk to me like that. He's like, hey, you really need to stop doing that, you know?
Well, the hardest job I've ever had to learn is to shut up. When I do workshops and tell people, you know, you have to learn to be still and know he's your God, he gives me two words, shut up. And it works. Isn't that what you... Your events up at Rosa Mystica are all right, Colleen?
They are. I'm just thinking, as a psychologist, you're a good listener. You know, so it's
thank you.
Is to have a relationship with Jesus, you need to be a good listener.
Well, I claim that therapy gets turned around when you go before adoration. Now, people come to psychologists and want them to listen to all their problems.
Right.
But when you go to God and he's the therapist, you have to learn to listen.
You have to learn to listen. Well, as anything, when you look for help, you speak and don't often take the time to listen to the answer. You know, you question everything, but are too busy to learn the answer.
That's right.
So,
and then sometimes go off thinking you have the answer.
And you have the answer. Oh, never mind,
don't.
I got this. And you walk away. It's like, never mind, I figured it out myself.
Yes.
But you mentioned the word patience.
Yeah.
And that is a gift that we receive when we seek the Lord.
Tell us about your relationship with God. We know you're going to talk about all these other things in a few moments, but...
You know, it's a hard answer. You know, I live Christ every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you start your morning with prayer. Sometimes you're busy getting off to the bus stop, you know, with my daughter or... and then you come back and you start your day again.
Mm-hmm.
If you miss that first opportunity, but when you start your day with Christ and you surrender to your mother, you have this peace, you know, Christ peace, and you try to do His will. You try to do, you know, spend your day with Christ, and as you work through your day, and there's, you know, a lot of distractions come about. You know, Christ teaches you what distractions are, and He teaches you that they're not from Him, and He shows you the way.
Mm-hmm.
So that you could stay focused. You know, I keep hearing eyes up.
Mm-hmm.
Not sideways, eyes up.
Mm-hmm.
And you get your day done, and you get His work done.
Mm-hmm.
And He has a lot of work to do. And as I sit with gifted people, as you are, the word that comes to mind is courage. You know, as Mary received her fiat and said yes, she had courage. You know, God gave her the gift of courage and to be bold. It's not easy painting and listening and saying, is this going to be good? And, you know, I see Joanne questioning.
Now, Billy, I want to ask Joanne, very important, do you have numbers that you follow?
Oh, I wish. That's what I'm going to pray for next time, in adoration.
Okay.
Hey, can you make it a little easier? You know, color, and, you know, your eyes are different. And so you question yourself, you know, and then you hear those words, eyes up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and He gives you the courage to keep moving forward because it's His work. It's not
so
His.
You hear eyes up.
I hear
shut up, and you hear paint up.
And we're at listen up. So
that's right.
Yeah, so, you know, and find, you know, we're all pilgrims.
Mm-hmm.
We're all seeking the Lord. So
mm-hmm.
I will segue into going up
absolutely
to Rosa.
Absolutely, that's where I want you to go.
I love being a pilgrim. I go up to Rosa Mystica as a pilgrim each time. To sit with the Lord, it's a spectacular place up there. We're stewards of an incredible place that the Blessed Mother has shown us. We have a beautiful chapel we sit with Mary. We learn the devotions of Mary, the scriptural meditations of the Rosary. And as our Holy Father says, Evangelii Gaudi, the joy of the gospel. So in our Mass and our visiting priests, we have the joy of the gospel. And we meditate on line by line. We have workshops, seminars, retreats, conferences. We invite families to come up. It's 160 acres of natural trails, and we have rosary walks and stations of the cross. And
whenever you come up, there's visiting priests from all over the world have come by. It's a privilege for them to say Mass at the chapel, that they consider it so. And we have a lot of events planned this year, from family retreats. We have a clergy retreat, a deacon retreat, healthcare professionals retreat.
Be specific. Let's tell our listeners, here are things you might be interested in.
Well, the first one we have coming up this year is on March 29th. It's a Lenten retreat.
March 29th?
March 29th. It's a Saturday. And we will have a bus from Long Island. And, you know, I encourage carpooling, and I could help facilitate any way you can to get up there. I will try my best to help you. I ask for people to pick up other people.
And what's the Lenten event?
It's a day of reparation. We have a guest coming in, a Siddhanologist, if I'm saying that correctly, Don Messier, who studies the Holy Shroud of Turin. Mm. Made it his life work. So he has a life-size replica and a beautiful presentation. And part of the presentation is showing the Holy Shroud and the wounds of Christ, and to understand the passion of Christ and his suffering, the gift that he's given us in his suffering to save us. So it's an extraordinary way to understand what our Lord is about, what the gift is about, our Easter season, if you will.
And it's not just being up there that day, it's the bus up.
At the
and
bus,
people pray in the bus.
It's extraordinary. You know.
And back.
Four hours. Yes, it's... I think about, you know, how Mary and Joseph traveled back, and it took them days and days, and the hardship. And I hear, you know, oh, it's so far, and a bus ride, oh, you leave at 5 o'clock in the morning, and
as soon as you step on the bus.
Step on the bus, we start praising and worshiping. We have rosary and divine mercy, and we bear witness to each other, and that's the most extraordinary part.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, when you're seeking the Lord answers you. You know, and many people that come up on a pilgrimage, it's not their first time, they're coming back in Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Because they found their relationship.
And the trip up is like preparation.
It is.
And the trip back is debriefing.
It is.
You know, when people share what happened.
It's
wonderful.
It's wonderful. You've been up there.
Oh,
you've
yes.
Been.
Yes.
Yeah, so.
Tell them how to get and how much.
I run a bus from Long Island, and the bus is $50, and it includes a lunch.
Okay.
We leave from local parishes. The Lenten retreat, we're going to be leaving from St. Bridget's in Westbury on mm-hmm. Post Avenue. And we try to get on the road promptly at 5:30. It's a four-hour trip door-to-door. We have a luxury bus that has bathroom facilities, so we're fine. Breakfast is on the bus, and we get there, and we start with our morning devotions. And we repeat the rosary again. We're going to be doing the outdoor Stations of the Cross if the weather permits.
The stations are exceptional.
Oh, extraordinary, because the meditations of the Stations of the Cross, one of the things is the true devotions of prayers up at Rosa Mystica. You have the time to sit, and there's many people there that can walk all over and give you history of our faith, and understanding the prayers and the devotions that we have. Just sitting with the Our Father, our daily prayer, mm-hmm. is extraordinary. And you find it in the scriptures, and you find it in daily life. So that's one of the wonderful things, one wonderful gifts that we receive when we go up to Rosa Mystica. So,
well, I think, you know, it's funny. A lot of people, they'll go up, and they'll say, well, that's a far away, but they go there. And you don't just, like, pick this place. This was the location was picked by a nun in Italy, and these monks came and built there and ended up on top of a hill from the location on Angel Hill Road. But people are going there, and they're having an experience with God. They're going up there, they're feeling God's presence. And I had one funny story. I got my girlfriend wanted to go, but her husband didn't. And, you know, they get up there, they get stuck in traffic, and he gets up there, and he's looking at me, and we just came out of Mass, and our new chaplain had just had Mass for the first time. And he said, he starts, you know, giving me a little bit of a hard time. How can you talk my wife into this? And as he's saying this, a rainbow appears right over the church.
A double
rainbow. And anyway, he looks at me, he goes, I'm so sorry, I'm so glad to be here. and he said to me, he said, when he got back, he says, I have peace. I haven't had peace in 15 years. Yeah. He goes, and I took that peace back with me.
Yeah.
So it's an amazing phenomenon. Somebody goes there once, they can't wait to get back. Mm-hmm. You know, they're there, but you know, you have to be there to experience that. And there's a certain something about the presence there that feels so strong to you that you're drawn back. And we have people coming back to confession. We had one man this summer, he hadn't been in 50 years,
yeah,
to confession.
Yeah.
And our confessional lines are lined up, mm-hmm, because people go there and they're like, you know, they want that healing. And they want that cleaning. They want to, yeah, go through the confession. And they, you know what? Leave your problems there and take what you got with God and take it back with you.
That's right. Don't you have a gala coming up?
We do. We have a gala in...
How did I know that?
We do. We have a gala on Friday, March 21st in the evening.
It's March 21st?
March 21st.
And where is that?
It's at the Douglaston Immaculate Conception Seminary,
okay,
in Douglaston. And the reason for the gala, first of all, we have a beautiful celebratory mass at 6 in the evening. All is welcome. And then we have a reception afterwards, a dinner and reception afterwards. We have the gala specifically to raise funds for Stewardship for Rosa Mystica and for the seminarians that we help throughout the world.
If people don't know, you do that as
we well. We do. And you know, the seminarians come from us, from all different parts of the world, very poor parts of the world where education is not expected, and they need help getting past just the secondary school so that they could go on to university and study theology and philosophy. So we help them get to that point. We have seminarians in the Philippines, in Vietnam, in Nigeria, in the Congo. There's a special story from Vietnam. Noreen Von Zwell is the founder of Rosa Mystica and the Mann Foundation. Her love has always been, as it should be, our priests and supporting our priests. To whom shall we go? And she was in a hospital in New Jersey, and she was, I think, in the beginning of her...
Yes, she had a serious operation coming up, so they sent in the priest.
And she asked for a priest, and she wanted to receive the sacraments before surgery. And in comes this priest, and he goes, Miss Noreen. And it was one of her very first seminarians from Vietnam. So, you know, God gave her that confirmation and gave her that gift that, you know, well done,
yeah,
my faithful servant.
My good and faithful servant. That's another way that we were talking, John and I were talking about before, how God speaks to you.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, somebody might say that that's an accident, but to us, we say that's a blessing.
It is
a
blessing.
Confirmation. That's God.
That's right.
Speaking to him.
And it's always scriptural. For me, it's always scriptural. God speaks. That's why I'm so happy that our Holy Father has declared this year the year of evangelization and to have the joy of the gospel, because I know our Holy Fathers, when they come up and visit us, they proclaim the gospel,
yep,
in all its fullness.
How do people get in touch? We're going to have to move on. So
you could reach us at the office. We have an 800 number. It's 800-720-9858.
Say it again.
1-800-720-9858.
People got to get a pencil. Say it one more time.
800-720-9858. I'm going to add numbers to it as we go along. And our website, of course, is www.rosamysticaofamerica.org. And again, we could visit your site as well.
Okay.
And we'll have a link there. You could find
Trevor,
us.
Can you put on number 5? We're going to do something a little different. We're going to link 2 songs together.
Okay.
One is, Be It Done Unto Us, According to Your Will.
Amen.
And in the second part is a prayer I'm going to read, which is the consecration to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So we'll do this together, and then we'll see how we
end. On the first Saturday of the Blessed Lady's Day. Thank you.
How can you encompass all things, be encompassed by me?
From Be It Done Unto Me, which we want our listeners to get in the habit of going there, they have a prayer for consecration to the united hearts of Jesus and Mary. Eternal Father, you have been most highly glorified by the sacred hearts of Jesus and Mary in union with his most blessed mother. Your divine Son has fulfilled your will in a spirit of total obedience. We offer their sacrifice again so that you may help and bless us through the infinite merits of those sacred hearts, and send your Holy Spirit to renew the face of the earth and the hearts of our listeners. In a spirit of total trust, we ask our listeners and you sitting here at the table, we consecrate ourselves, our families, our community, to your two united hearts. We wish to lead holy lives so that we may be part of Christian unity lived in love and charity. We promise to live in union with your sacred hearts and do all we can to fulfill your requests expressed in the prayer, Our Father. Heavenly Father, we will exercise our influence wherever we can and strive to make your sacred name known and honored. Do all we can so that your kingdom may come in our midst and to accomplish everything according to your divine will. Then, O God, our Father, may you bless everyone's labor and daily bread abundantly. May you forgive our sins and incline our hearts in peace of your great mercy. May you save us from all sins and deliver us from evil. Lord Jesus, as you performed your first miracle at Cana through Mary's intervention and in keeping with the will of the Father, may you again, through the intercession of Mary, your mother, help us unfailingly through her motherly kindness. May all the earth soon join the church in repeating the angel's salutation and pray, Hail Mary. Immaculate Heart of Mary, most sacred heart of Jesus, guide us every day of our lives with the life-giving power of the Holy Spirit until we reach the gate of our celestial homeland. Amen.
Amen.
This is Prayer Card Publications, and they're out of Montreal, Canada. What a lovely prayer.
Beautiful,
and
beautiful.
It kind of summarizes what we've been talking about through the whole program.
Yes.
That ability for us to surrender unconditionally so that we may receive God's unconditional love. I want to thank the two of you.
Oh, thank you.
For being here. And Trevor, we're going to move right on to the closing song, which, believe it or not, is Unconditional Love, sung by David. Duh. This is called a total duh.
God just makes
Listeners,
it very
we
easy.
Hope you got something out of this. And we know that you will come and be part of everything that Rosa Mystica does, and you'll get more. You will get. I'm blocking on your name, Joanne. Pages. It's a special. Tony, you better get well. I don't like doing this show by myself. No more coughing, please. Amen.
Amen.
We'll see you all next week.
Thank you.
Thank you. God bless you.
The following from the heart of the nautical mile, you're listening to the